Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. Glenn the Geek back with you from Ocala, Florida.
I'm not in Kentucky anymore. I'm back in the desert.
No newspaper for you.
I know. I'm Jamie Jennings, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 1st, 2012, episode 394. And the episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha. Good morning, Horse World.
Good Tuesday morning to you, and I do mean a good Tuesday morning.
Well, if you insist on being accurate about it.
You know, only somebody with perfect comedic timing could produce this much energy in one shot.
You gotta learn that your time in the saddle ain't as rough as the life in between. And the fence isn't there for you to straddle. And you can't change horses in the middle of your dream.
What an absolutely awesome weekend at the Rolex Kentucky three-day event. And then to make our way home, we're all getting geared up for badminton. And then the worst ever May 1st fool's joke, I don't know if they do those, happened. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But Glenn, I have the coolest thing to show you.
You do?
I do. I'm posting it right. Well, yeah. I told you guys I went to Keeneland on Friday, closing day of Keeneland in Kentucky, and I fell in love with this horse. I told you that I saw, like, my next future event horse. And nowadays, you can go on to Thoroughbred Connect, and you can post it on your, you can post that you want this horse. So I was uploading some photos, and I took like a million pictures of this horse. He's the seven horse in the photo I just posted. The seven horse, I took a billion photos of him, and as I was looking back through them, drooling over this horse, I realized that I took the most unintentional, awesome photo. So, do you see it? Is anybody there?
Yep, I'm looking at it.
Thank you.
It just came up. I forgot it's radio.
I'm not next to you anymore, Glenn.
Yeah. No, it's weird.
Oh,
with the strides. That's amazing.
That's cool. Isn't that awesome? I couldn't have done that if I tried. So I posted the picture on our Facebook page. It's from Keeneland. And it actually didn't come out showing the whole entire thing like it was supposed to, because the stupid Facebook. But I had all three of the horses completely in it in my original photo. So it's very cool. So here's the update on that horse. Because you can go to Thoroughbred Connect now, and you can post on there that I want this horse when he's done racing, right? And his name is Tune It. Tune It. So I had all these beautiful pictures of him. And then I started Googling the trainer. I can't really find out much about the trainer. So then I Googled the owner. And it turns out the owner is a veterinarian at Haggard's in Lexington, Kentucky. And he bred and raised this horse. So conveniently, his email is on the Haggard Davidson's website. So I sent him an email with some of the photos I took. And I'm like, hey, I want your horse.
And he said, yeah, sure, no problem.
Yeah, I haven't heard back yet, but I feel like I'm stalking this guy. I'm doing like some stealth Google searches. I find out who he is. I find out the owner. I find his email address, and then I send him an email with some photos attached. I'm like, hi, I stalked your horse. I took all these photos. I love him. If he's ever done racing, call me. I said, if he's ever done racing, you know, we'd love to, whatever. But then I also said, if he does turn into the next Secretariat, I'll just give you a high five, and I'll give him a carrot. But he's for four, so not looking likely.
Great picture. What it is she took a picture. By the way, if you click on the picture, you can see all the horses. You can see the original pictures. So what it is a picture of three horses, like one, two, three, right beside each other, you know, just in perfect sequence. And the horses are all in the exact same stride with the exact same right foot forward. You're right. I don't think I've ever seen a picture like this before.
It's so cool. It looks like they're doing the hokey pokey. You know,
yes.
It's like you put your right foot in, you put your right foot out. It's
exactly
so cool.
It like.
And, yeah, it's so I couldn't believe it when I uploaded all the photos and I was looking through them. I'm like, oh, my gosh. You don't have those. They're exact space, like the head is by the hip of the one in front of it. It's just so cool. So there you go. Enjoy that. That never happens.
That's true. Very good. Very good picture. Well, Jennifer, what is coming up now that we're back in the studios? Well, Jennifer never left the studio. She stayed home because she loves it here in Florida. So what's going on for us today?
On today's Omega Alpha Tuesday edition, our intrepid hosts rehash the past 5 days where they slaved over hot microphones, endlessly adjusting sound mixing boards until all hours, and generally partying nonstop in the bluegrass. And once the two of them wind down, another fantastically beautiful part of the horse country will be in the limelight as Connie Castile stops by and tells us about her upcoming documentary, Tug Gallop, a Louisiana horse story. I watched the trailer this morning, gave me goosebumps. And fear not, the velvety voice of Horse and Country TV's Victoria Spicer will be stopping by to give us her perspective on the tragic, bummer news about badminton, arguably the largest three-day event competition in the world, being canceled for 2012. So stay tuned for the fracas.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about that coming up here shortly. But first, we have to get back to doing some daily winning. Well, Daily Winnie, my first one of two today, is to all the listeners that stopped by to see us over the weekend. What a terrific, it was just terrific to meet all of you that stopped by, and it was just a lot of fun to chat with you and get to know you a little bit. I'm sorry we didn't get more time with some of you, that we were kind of rushed or we were doing a show or whatever, but it was fun. The first morning to have all those people standing by watching us get started. That was kind of fun, Jamie. Jamie, it was good to work with right beside you. It's so much easier than when we don't see each other at all.
It was funny, you know, because I'm sitting in a room all by myself right now. And to see people standing in front of me actually made me a little nervous. I'm kind of a little nervous.
Well, I have another Daily Winnie here for everybody. One of our fans who we didn't get to meet, who wanted us to know that she was there, posted on our Facebook page. Her name is Angela Bailey. And shout out to Angela. And she took this picture of her dogs in a wagon. She had, what, one, two, three dogs in a wagon. By the way, you're crazy to bring three dogs in a wagon to Rolex. But she had three dogs in a wagon, and she put our signs, Horses in the Morning and Horse Radio Network, in front of the wagon, and she said, big fans of Horses in the Morning. So we thank your dogs for listening. We really appreciate it, and it was a fun picture. I'm so glad that you posted it up there. And so that's it. That's my Daily Winnies, and now it's your turn.
Well, without a doubt, you know, because we haven't been on the air since show jumping, my Daily Winnie has to go to the man, the myth, the legend, William Fox Pitt, for winning the Rolex Kentucky three-day event. Congratulations to William. It was just absolutely phenomenal. I mean, I would say almost flawless show jumping round. As I knew it would, you know, he had a rail in hand, so that means he could have knocked a rail down when he went in. And Allison Springer was in second place, and she had a rail down too, so that's why he had a rail in hand. It was just, she was phenomenal. And that horse that she rides, you know, we talked about Arthur being very spooky, and Glenn, did it not look like he was trying to spook at everything in there?
And you know what? Yes, it did. But I'll tell you what, I also saw a heck of a lot more confidence with her as a rider and her horse during that show jumping than I've seen in the past. He did quite well.
Yeah, he did awesome, and she just really had to ride the heck out of him. I mean, her reins were so short, she could have put her hands on his bit, you know? I mean, she was like, holy, she's like, you're got to go. But then William Fox Pitt comes in, and he's just the kind of competitor that has, like, icy nerves, you know? And he comes in the ring, and you're just like, well, okay, this is over because, you know, he's just perfect. But he actually had one rail, and I thought Allison might actually do it. But once his horse touched the rail, once Parkland and Hawk touched the rail, he was like, okay, I'm not touching anything else. I'm sorry, Daddy.
And that rail came early in the course. He knocked that rail off right away, and he said, well, that did make the rest of the course a little more exciting for all the fans at home. He wasn't bothered by it, but he was a little concerned about the fans at home having a heart attack. You could have heard a pin drop. There were, 6,000 people in that stadium when he went around, and you could have heard a pin drop.
Oh, man, it was awesome. And it was such a great show jumping and to see all those horses. You know, I think when the first couple riders come in, you know, they're in, like, dead last. And so they do reverse order go. So the horses that are in last place go first. And so the pressure is all on the first place riders. Well, when you see those guys come in, I love that the crowd cheers the way that they do, even though these guys are in dead last, because, you know, these guys are doing something that not many people in the entire world do. Just a handful of people in the whole world are able to finish the Rolex Kentucky 3-day event. And so to finish, I think I cried, and Chad was laughing at me. I cried after, like, the first 15 riders came out of the arena because they were so excited and they finished Rolex, and I'm like, oh, my God, well done, you. Oh, my God. That was how I was, like, the first 15 riders. He's like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, I am just so emotional just to be able to do something like that. It was ridiculous. So I don't know if my husband's ever going to come back, but I hope he does.
I think your husband had a blast. I was talking to him a little bit at the end there. I think he had a great time. He really did.
Yeah. I can't believe you guys finally got to meet. But just to finish up real quick. You know, we talked to Jennifer mentioned it. So William Fox Pitt wins the second leg of the Grand Slam. So all he has to do is take one of his 9 horses that are 4-star level and go to badminton next weekend. And then if he wins, which he's always got a better shot than anybody else to win, then he goes on and wins the $350,000 Rolex Grand Slam. Well, they canceled badminton. I think they waited to see if he was done, and then the people were like, we can't pay him the money. Cancel it. Because now he's not going to get the money.
Yeah, see, that's all done through insurance. What happens there is badminton contacts an insurance company, and the insurance company puts up, you know, they pay a premium, and if he had won the 3, then the insurance company pays out. Well, you know darn well the insurance company's not going to go, you know, we can change the rules. So what's going to have to happen is it'll be up to Rolex to decide if they want to cover it. I'm sure the insurance company will not. So it'll be up to Rolex, the company, you know, the watch company themselves, to decide, do they want to change it and cover it? I haven't read where they – I read that they might possibly change it to one of the other events, but, you know, that is not confirmed, I do not think.
Again, it is like the most ridiculous odds for the insurance company to go, yeah, you know what? He has worked really hard, and he is very talented. So we're going to go ahead and roll the money, the $350,000. We're just going to give it to him anyway if he wins the next one. That's not going to happen. I mean, when I worked at the radio stations, if you screwed up as a DJ a giveaway, you screwed up one thing, they wouldn't pay. Like those big, you know, $10,000, $100,000 radio station prizes, you're never going to win them because the insurance company makes sure that you're not going to win them because they have to pay it if you do. So I just can't imagine that this is going to go by, like, if he's ever going to do it. That just really, really sucks. So we're going to talk to Victoria Spicer coming up about the weather and about what's going on in badminton, and it broke my heart. You know, we were talking a little bit yesterday over the weekend, Glenn, about Horse Nation playing a practical joke saying Rolex was canceled. And I honest to God, when I saw it on Facebook, I was like, somebody is going to get in big trouble. That is not funny. It was, I think I saw it on Eventing Nation on Facebook. Badminton canceled. And I'm like, haven't they learned not to get in trouble? Can't believe they're reporting something that's a joke.
No, it wasn't a joke. Unfortunately, it wasn't a joke. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about that with Victoria coming up here, and we have another guest that we're going to talk a little. Well, of course, what else is going on this week, Jamie? This is what an exciting week coming up, and that is the Kentucky Derby.
I can't remember what's going on this weekend. Anything? Not really, huh?
But before we get to that, we're going to talk racing here in a little bit. We're going to talk Louisiana horses. We just have a fun week prepared all around this week. But first, before we get to anything, we have to talk. We didn't get a chance on Sunday to talk about shopping. So I know you did some shopping, and we always try and pick our products of the show. And I kind of picked mine, and your husband was fascinated with this, too. He went right down to take a look at it. My product of the weekend at the show was a $450 flashlight. Yes?
What?
A flashlight. A normal-looking, kind of heavy-duty flashlight for $450 from SoCal Flashlight at SoCalFlashlights.com. And they had the most expensive flashlights I've ever seen in my life. And your husband came back and he said, well, the military should be buying them. $450 for a flashlight sounds like kind of a military contract. I mean, it was a heavy-duty flashlight that was very, very bright. I mean, it was very bright. And for $450, it better be very bright. And it also better, like, work on air and not require batteries. You know, you breathe into it, and it makes this incredible bright light. But, no, it uses batteries. So $450 for a flashlight, that has to be my product of the weekend. I was like, oh, my God.
For $450, that thing, you better be able to walk up to somebody, stick it behind them, and it x-rays their butt. Like, you could, from the front, you can see their actual x-ray.
No,
that's what I would spend.
Now, he said it would go a half a mile, but it looked like a flashlight. But it was heavy. I mean, you could beat somebody to death with it, too. So it has a dual purpose. And it was heavy duty. I mean, super heavy duty. But apparently their flashlights are known for having multi-uses. They have attachments that you can hook them to guns, and you can do different things with them. He said our best seller is right over there, and it's this little flashlight, you know, maybe 6 inches long and a half an inch wide. A little flashlight, and it's very bright. I'll give him that. It was very bright, but it was $125. I can't tell you I think I've ever paid more than $30 for a flashlight. I can't imagine
I've never
sold a
paid
lot
more
of
than
it.
Like $7 for a flashlight. Okay, what's the name of it so we can post this $450 flashlight online?
SoCal Flashlights. It's SoCal Flashlights, and it's SoCalFlashlights.com, Jennifer. SOCAL, which I assume means Southern California. Where else would you have $450 flashlights but Southern California?
I know. That's ridiculous. And people
would
buy
them.
Did you
buy anything?
Yeah. I might have done some epic shopping. And by epic, I mean just things that like I really needed that I haven't been allowing myself to buy. So I went over to the Bit of Britain tent and
fought the crowd.
I had to fight my way into that place. But I ended up buying the Ariat half chaps that are called the Breeze. They're a lightweight, washable half chap. They're so comfortable. My half chaps, I wear them like 6 hours a day. Or I wear my boots, and I wanted to preserve my boots a little bit more by getting a nice half chap. So I went in there, I tried this on, and they are so flexible, and they just smooth out the line. I tried them on in jeans.
Jennifer, isn't that the kind? Jennifer, isn't that the kind you wear?
Yes, those are the ones that I got for Christmas.
I thought so.
They're so awesome, and instead of, like, a lot of half chaps on the bottom of them, they have a snap where you have to, like, snap right around your ankle, which is almost impossible. This has a
unless
little
you're
piece
a pretzel,
of Velcro.
You can't do that.
I know. I mean, it's really difficult. It's half the time mine are left unsnapped, and then the snap things flop in the breeze, and these have a little Velcro piece that just sticks right over. So very comfortable and very nice. So I really enjoyed those. The other thing I bought is from Southern Star Saddlery. I had to go do it, Glenn.
Another saddle?
No. I would have gotten divorced if I'd have got the dressage saddle there. What I did do was I went ahead and got the 5-point harness. Basically, it's a 5-point breast collar. And what it attaches to is the Southern Star saddles are monoflap saddles, which means the flaps hang down like a dressage saddle as opposed to up underneath the flaps of the saddle. So most things, you have a hard time finding things that fit like a running martingale or something like that, because the girth is also very big and wide. So I wanted to get this 5-point harness. It attaches at the top of the saddle. It attaches at the bottom of the saddle, like where the straps are, where the flaps for the where you attach the girth, and then it attaches at the bottom. And then it also has a piece for a running martingale. So instead of putting a breast collar on my horse, that doesn't really work with the saddle.
Oops, I think we've lost Jamie there. Jamie, you still there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're breaking up on us a little bit there.
Okay, well, we're going to post the link to these. I'll hang up and call back. You talk about what you bought.
All right. Actually, I didn't buy anything, but I can talk a little bit about some other things that happened over the weekend. Jennifer, you were watching on TV, and you watched Cross Country on Saturday, and then you watched NBC, I think, on Sunday, which is the first live coverage ever of the stadium jumping from Rolex. But you didn't get to see the end at the award ceremony, did you?
No, as soon as as soon as Fox Pitt went through the finish flags, I turned off the TV set because – to be honest with you, all those, you know, award, you know, the handing the trophy, how wonderful is this for you? They're usually just painful to watch, so I didn't, and apparently I missed some good stuff.
Well, you would have missed another painful moment, because as William Fox Pitt, who's from England, as William Fox Pitt standing there, and they're about to do the award ceremony, and they want to get it in quick for NBC.
Oh, God.
So here we go.
This is painful.
It is painful. And Nigel, the announcer who we know and has been on this show, he's a good friend of the Horse Radio Network, and he's a great guy, did a terrific job all weekend. I don't think this was his responsibility to do this, but he had to announce it, poor guy. So they going to play the national anthem with God Save the Queen from England, because he's English, and that's what they always do. So they start playing it. They started playing ours, didn't they, Jamie? Wasn't it ours? Wasn't it the United States?
They played the Star Spangled Banner. And to tell you, my husband, you know, when the Star Spangled National Anthem plays, he stands at attention no matter where he is. He was like, we were in the trade fair getting ice cream, and the national anthem plays at the beginning, and he has to stand at attention. He faces the flag. He's like very patriotic that way. Plus, he's military. They have to. So we're walking down, and we're walking out of there, and all of a sudden, the Star Spangled Banner plays. He's halfway down the stairs, and he has to just freeze and stand at attention.
And then it stops because they realized it was wrong. And then, that isn't the worst of it, Jennifer. The worst of it is, so they got about, 20 seconds into it that they realized they had the wrong song. So everybody's standing, and, William Fox Pitt's just looking like, this ain't the right one. And on his horse out in the middle of the arena waiting for the awards and everything. So they say, oh, wait a minute. And Nigel comes on and says, oh, we had a bit of a mix-up there. And hold on 1 second. And then they start playing one, and it was not God Save. It was some other country. Nobody even knows what country it was.
We couldn't figure it out.
30 seconds. It was awful. And then Nigel comes on and says, we have a bit of a mix-up here in the booth. He did have a sense of humor, though. Nigel was a quick thinker. He said, William, could you please hum God Save the Queen for us? And everybody laughed. But they never did play it, did they?
No, they never actually could find it. And so, but of course, you know, standing on a horse that is 4-star fit, that just won, the horse he was doing such a good job trying to keep it standing still, but it was definitely a challenge. He kept having to circle him, and I felt so bad for him. Hey, guess what? I got breaking news.
What?
the details have been announced as far as the Grand Slam rollover for badminton and what they're going to do. And here's the official press release says, to confirm, the Rolex Grand Slam of Eventing Prize will be awarded to any rider who wins all three events consecutively. Therefore, with the current contender of the Rolex Grand Slam prize being William Fox Pitt, who has now won Burley and Rolex, blah, 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 Fox Pitt will now have to win the 2013 Mitsubishi Motors Badminton Horse Trials in order to claim the prize, as this fulfills the criteria of having to win each of the three events consecutively. So that's how they are basically telling the insurance company, hey, it said consecutively. It did not say the same calendar year. Now, what happens now is that the current situation means that Fox Pitt could be challenged for the title at the same event if another rider this coming year wins Burley and Kentucky. The next year, it would come down to, oh my gosh, two riders having $350,000 on the line to win badminton next year. See, they're just trying to get a bigger crowd.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. That's going to be exciting, actually, if that happens. Now, does he win twice if he is the one that gets those two next year and he's going for it twice? Does he get $700,000?
I think that the odds of that happening, my friend,
I don't know. He has a lot of good horses.
I don't know. That's true. I mean, but if he wins that many, somebody should just go ahead and give him $1 billion. Here you go. You're the best in the world. Go ahead. Hey, did you see what Allison Springer won, by the way?
He won a Land Rover.
Top-placed American rider. She got a Land Rover. And I actually read the fine print, and it's actually an 18-month lease of a Land Rover. But when she was getting interviewed afterwards, she said, I'm glad they put somebody in the car with me, because if not, I'd have been out there in the arena doing donuts.
That's funny. She was, you know, that's the way they do those. They give you a lease, which is nice, because otherwise you have to pay taxes on the value of the car.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're given a $50,000 car, all of a sudden you got a couple of 20 grand to pay the taxes on it, you know? And most people end up selling the car to pay the taxes. So that's why they do the lease, which is a much better deal. It's much better for them.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, but that's cool.
I'm telling you what, I'd drive that car. And the fact that they give the car to a horse girl, you know that car's coming back trashed. You realize that, right?
That's true. I didn't think about that. I'll tell you what.
The dog. Muddy boots, a saddle, your tack, maybe some hay. That thing is going to get trashed.
I have to admit, I have to be honest here, because you know how I'm always picking on you horsewomen and your cars and how you trash our cars, and us horse husbands have to clean them out, and we hate that you throw all your dirty clothes back there and they get all full of hay and all that crap. When I came back from Rolex this time, our Jeep was pretty much trashed. Jennifer can bust me a little bit on it, because it looked like she had been in it the whole time. It was pretty trashed, I got to say.
Hey, wait. Back up a little bit. You said what? It
looked
like
I trashed the car.
It the time.
I said I trashed the car. I admit it. I trashed it. I trashed it. My fault.
But he said it looked like you had been driving it. I was just thinking, what, Jennifer?
Well, okay, folks, listeners, that post I put up a little earlier that said Glenn didn't buy a $450 flashlight and yes, he's still married. Please delete that post.
He's not married anymore.
That's the bad thing about having your wife as the producer.
That's the awesome thing about having your wife as the producer. All right, I'm going to save your butt. We need to do the commercial. Jennifer,
I just wanted to say that it was good to see Dr. Chang over the weekend and everybody from Omega Alpha. We got to spend a lot of time with him, and, you know, he came on the show with us here for a little bit, and it was just terrific to see all of them. I'm going to get her on next week. I'm going to try and get her on Monday, and her name is Crystal Carnes, and she works for Omega Alpha part-time as their Western representative, and she deals with all the Western side. And she's a serious barrel racer. We haven't talked a whole lot about barrel racing here on the show, so I'm going to try and get her on next Monday. A very lovely, sweet girl, a lot of fun to talk to. And I said, you have to come on the show and talk to us a little bit more about barrel racing. She's going to explain to us the different associations and how it all works. So, and she's one of Dr. Chang's employees and a barrel racer from Canada, so hey, she's going to come on with us next week.
Is she the nutritionist that they hired?
No, that's a different person. This is their Western representative.
Because the nutritionist and I, she and I can't think of her name right now, but we were sitting there talking, and I showed her, Dr. Chang was like, show her the before pictures of your horse. And so I showed her the before pictures and then the after pictures, and she started crying. And I knew immediately that she was like my new best friend.
Yeah, that's neat. It was just cool.
And I do want to say, though, about Omega Alpha, I'm so excited. I ordered some more Biotic 8. And some of their joint supplement, because I didn't realize, this can be their commercial, is that, you know, some of the feed-through joint supplements, the horses don't absorb it because it's a very long chain, like a chain of DNA kind of thing. And horses being herbivores can't break that down. Well, Dr. Chang has invented one, a smaller chain of the hyaluronic acid that horses can actually digest. So I'm so excited to give it a try and see that. And then Biotic 8, of course, is the probiotics that really, really do some good work. They're what Jet was on the first time. So I'm excited to try that, and I think I'm putting Joe Montana on the Biotic 8 and see if that helps his laying down on the job when you put the girth on.
One of the things we had talked about was the possibility that, you know, he has ulcers or something.
Yeah, and then the other thing I did buy, by the way, I wanted to tell our listeners, is it was their suggestion that I get a surcingle. And so Joey today is going to be brought in this morning because they go out at night. Joey's going to come in, and he's going to have a surcingle put on him, and he's going to wear it all day.
Oh, good. You did find one? Great. That's good.
I did.
I think that might help. That's either going to help or he won't get up at all, one or the other.
Yeah, he might just lay there all day, but you know what? He'll get over it. No, I'm just kidding.
I got to ask you, though, what was the shot? By the way, OmegaAlphaEquine.com. OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Check out their website. They have all natural products. It's great stuff because it is all natural. He understands herbs and how they all work together, and that's why we recommend OmegaAlphaEquine.com. I wanted to ask you, what was it like, the shock of going from that bright green grass to nothing but brownness at your house in Arizona?
Oh, man, you know, I got to tell you, I think it was because I knew what the grass was going to be like. I did not know that my husband was going to like it so much. And not once, but twice, out on the cross-country course, my husband fell asleep in the grass, laying
down
while the cross-country course is going on. And I just think he just loved it. I wonder if I can just go ahead and post a picture of him sleeping in the grass. Should I do that? Would that be bad?
Yeah, exactly. We won't tell him. It's okay. Because that's a horse husband thing to do. You know, it got kind of warm in the afternoon. You lay down the grass. Plus, let's be honest, you kept him out partying late every night. The poor guy. You wore him out.
We only stayed out late partying one night, Glenn. It was just happened to be a really late night. And it was the cross-country day, so it was even later. I'll go ahead. To lay down in that grass that was like a little bit moist and it was cool and it was just so beautiful and you snuggle up. Okay, I've got the picture here, so I'll go ahead and post it online. He won't care. I wouldn't do it if he was going to get mad about it. But, to lay in that and then to come back to the freaking desert. Are you kidding me? Sucks.
I got to tell you, I was ready to come home. When on the way home, I was thinking, you know, usually it takes me a while when we move for the old place to not seem like home anymore and for the new place to seem like home. But I got to tell you, when I was driving through your lovely state, I got to say lovely state of Georgia that you came from, because I didn't get stuck at all this time. So I don't have anything to bust on about Georgia for this trip. I went straight through 70 miles an hour. I don't think I ever went below 70. And it was a great trip home, and it felt like I was coming home. It felt like Florida was home. So I'm adjusting quicker, I think, in my old age is what's happening.
You're crazy. To leave Kentucky to go to Florida? You were happy. I mean, aside from your wife being there, I wouldn't have thought of anything else. Like, oh, how am I leaving this green grass and this beautiful – and now you're paying more for food because your horse actually needs hay now?
Yeah, but we're paying a lot less for the place we're living with our horse. So that makes a huge difference, too. All right, let's get to our first guest. She is She has done a film, and this is a film that I want to talk to her about, and I do have the trailer for her. I want to get her on here and say hi first, because it's a film about the horses in Louisiana. And my last name, being a bear, there are about a bazillion A-bears. Most of my distant relatives probably live in Louisiana. They're Canucks or Cajuns or something down there, one or the other. So good morning, Connie.
Good morning. I think they would be Cajuns, probably, primarily.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, definitely Cajuns, because I'll tell you what, when you go down there and you look up Hebert in the phone book, there's about 12 pages of Hebert in the phone book down there. So I think you were talking to all my distant relatives.
Oh, but probably so. And you know, half of them have nicknames down here. But one of, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the bush tracks, these dirt, unsanctioned tracks that were all over the countryside here in South Louisiana for over 100 years. One of the families that owned a prominent one was the Hébert family, Clément Hébert. So there you go.
Huh. I didn't know that. You know, I knew that there were a lot of Hébert down there, but not so much in the rest of the country, but all down there in the swamps. Well, let me ask you about this. Well, first, let's do this. Do you want me to play? Do you want to describe it a little first, and then I play the trailer, or do you want me to play the trailer first?
Let's play the trailer. Let's listen to that first.
Okay. All right, let's take a look. Here we go.
Louisiana has good cowboys. They grew up riding horseback and helping their daddies.
We were the cowboys. My parents and the grandfather, they were the original cowboys.
When I first started, I was about 7 or 8 years old in the bush track.
There's so many things that we do even today that we've just been doing because the people before us did it.
So my little boys, they're 7 and 6 right now. They each have their own little horse that they ride, and trying to teach them how to respect animals, and it helps you to become a better person in life.
The best thing for the inside of a man is the outside of a horse. When you turn him out and let him run loose and run free, it's just a beautiful thing.
Crazy. It was fun, crazy. Never a moment without a whole bunch of crazy excitement.
It's a shame that the bush tracks are no more.
Didn't just bring jockeys. It brought a mentality.
But them days are gone. We'll never see that again. I guess it's time for the old people to move on.
I got to tell you, the trailer was well edited. Jennifer's going to post a link to it on our Facebook page so you can watch the video as well. Tell us about the movie and what prompted you to do it.
Well, I live in a little town. I actually grew up there in South Louisiana near Lafayette. It's called Brobridge. It happens to be the crawfish capital of the world. And about 3 years ago, the city council was debating whether or not to ban horses from downtown, because on any Sunday, you'd probably most likely see about 5 or 6 black cowboys riding through town on their way to maybe a trail ride, you know, in the country. And so it just started to prompt this idea of, well, why do we have all these horses? It wasn't just on any given Sunday you might see somebody going through any little town around here, but we have a prominent number of jockeys that win Kentucky Derbies and Preaknesses and things like that. We've got a rural Mardi Gras, which is very different from what people typically think of as New Orleans Mardi Gras, and that's done on horseback. We have a jousting competition in a little town nearby. They don't joust other people, but they joust these rings. Basically, they have to spear these rings, and each ring represents an enemy of cotton, because it's during the Cotton Festival. And then we have Creole trail rides that are anywhere from 300 to thousands of riders that pretty much any given weekend, these black cowboys just ride through these areas and then go to listen to live Zydeco music after they're done. And then we've got these buggy races, again, by another Creole family. So it just seemed like, what's with all the horses? Why do we have all this present-day traditions of horseback riding?
And when I started to poke around, it it's apparently linked to our cattle industry that was started probably in about 1720. And the way we kind of know this is through these brand books that we still have, that one of the brand books is as early as 1730. And when you look through the brands, you kind of see it was like an equal opportunity industry, if you will. You had free people of color. You had women that could have a brand. Savages is what they call it, sauvage in the French. So Indian had their own brand. And when the Acadians first got here, I don't know if your audience wouldn't be familiar with that, but that's probably where you guys are, your Hébert family in Nova Scotia area. When they were exiled, a lot of them came down here. And when they got to South Louisiana, the government basically encouraged them to continue what they had mastered in Acadie, which was ranching. And the reason for that is because they needed to feed New Orleans. So they basically gave eight Cajun families, about a bull and maybe five cattle, heads of cattle, and some land, and sent them out to the prairies, which is all around here in South Louisiana, to start raising cattle again to feed New Orleans. So it's almost, some will argue that the cattle industry of the nation began here, but who knows?
And the Cajuns down there and Creoles, too, were really some of the first cowboys in the country.
Well, yeah, I think there's a good argument to be said about that. There's certainly, the Creoles were certainly the first cowboys in this area, I think. But what happens now, so you have all this hard work of cattle, raising cattle, and given, I think, the personality of Cajuns and Creoles, you know, we like to pass a good time, as I guess we're known around the world for. So it's just a matter of time before they started having fun and playing with these horses through racing or, you know, the Mardi Gras and things like that. So I think that's why you still see, even though the cattle industry isn't as prominent, obviously, you still have these the remnants of these playful activities with horses.
Well, I got to tell you, too, you know, you mentioned it in that little trailer, and it sounds like you talked about it a good bit in the film, is that you had a lot of great jockeys that have come out of Louisiana. The most prominent and recent one that everybody knows about is Calvin Burrell.
That's right. And Calvin is pretty much the primary jockey. We interview him. We talk to his family. We have wonderful old photographs of him growing up in Catahoula, which is a little town in St. Martin Parish. It's just amazing. And you know, you have Kent DeZarmo, Calvin and Kent are both running in this year's Kentucky Derby, which is coming up, as we all know. And he was almost a Triple Crown jockey. I don't know if you remember that a few years ago. He was riding different horses, but he won the Derby and the Preakness. And had he won the Belmont, he would have been the first, I guess, Triple Crown jockey. But yeah.
And then Robbie Alvarado was also.
Robbie Alvarado's in the film. Yeah. Shane Sellers. Randy Romero isn't directly in the film. He's talked a lot about, when I talked to him about participating in the film, he said, well, I'm making my own documentary about me, so I think I'm going to wait. I said, okay. But, yeah, and the reason
that's
we have...
It's not going to be in yours.
Yeah, I know. The reason we have all these jockeys is, again, they're growing up within 20 miles of each other, and they're riding in these unsanctioned dirt tracks at 5, 6, 7 years old. So by the time they're getting their license at 16 to ride in recognized racing, Evangeline Downs, the fairgrounds here in New Orleans, they're seasoned riders. I mean, they've been through a lot. So they are more aggressive, and I think that shows, as we see, you know, they've
probably... And a little scrappy, let's be honest.
A little what?
Scrappy. They're scrappier than they'll mix it up if they have to.
That's what they learned on the bush tracks for sure. No stewards
there.
There's
a lot of people. There's a lot of people though, Connie, that I would say that are happy that the bush tracks are gone. You know, on the other side of that.
Well, like who?
Well, you know, there were a lot of people who felt that the horses were mistreated and all that stuff. You know, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But, you know, there's a lot of people that are happy that they're gone, too. So I think there's probably two sides to that. I don't know if you covered that at all. But
I think there are two sides. And even I mean, you have Shane Sellers, who's been outspoken about even weight limits on the jockeys themselves. So the horses and the humans, I think, have put themselves, well, the horses haven't put themselves through it, but yeah, it's controversial in, from a lot of points. And then I just was reading in the New York Times, I guess you guys were familiar with that article that came out, I think it was a Sunday New York Times, about thoroughbred. And, well, they didn't make a distinction between quarter horse racing and thoroughbred racing, but they were really being hard about, even still today, the report said that, you know, this still kind of going on, this kind of mistreatment, using horses for races that maybe shouldn't be in the races. You know, I mean,
yeah.
It's the ethical thing.
And you know, we do cover that, and we talk about that, and you know, we have that in almost any sport, though, when you take a look at it, there's always bad apples in any sport. But so where can people find the film? Where is it going to be?
Well, right now, the way to get it is directly through me. My website isn't going to be up till the end of June, but we are on Facebook as well. So it's TGALOP, which is T Gallop in a sense. And again, that's the name of the film is Tigalo, A Louisiana Horse Story. And Tigalo is a pretty famous Cajun song by Dewey Balfa, who is kind of seen as the father of Cajun music. And it's called Tigalo Pour Mamou, so a little gallop, a little canter to Mamou, which is a little town around here. So that's how I came up with the name. And so we're on Facebook, so, and of course emailing me would work as well. And I don't know, I can give that now if you want, or they can...
Sure, and we'll post a link to it also on our Facebook page.
But it would just be my name, Connie Castile, so it's CONNICASTILLE at Gmail, and I can respond that way too. And you know, another thing too, it's just coming out, so we're really trying to get it around to a horse people around the country. So if there's a possibility for a screening, where you guys are in Ocala?
Yeah, but we have listeners all around the world. So
yeah, so anybody listening that would like to bring the film to their town, you know, that's a possibility as well. So yeah.
All right, terrific. And it's you can find it at Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/TGALOP, and that's
right.
Where that's probably the best place to go to there and to be in touch. Well, thank you, Connie.
Yeah.
This looks like a lot of fun. I can't wait to see it.
Well, thank you for allowing me this audience.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Connie.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. You know, there's a lot of independent filmmakers making a lot of independent films right now about horses. I think there's more than I remember in the past.
I think it sounds awesome. And what sounds exciting is it's kind of like the movie Run for the Roses, which was such an awesome documentary on horses and horse racing, but in the bigger scale, not Louisiana kind of backtrack. So that's going to be an awesome. I can tell, and I didn't get to ask her this, but I wanted to ask her if I need some tissues. And then I thought, I don't even need to ask her because I already know. I will cry.
Yeah, you'll cry at anything. Although, you know, some of those Cajun accents and the Creoles down there are pretty hard to understand, so you may not understand them enough to cry.
Yeah, I know. That's true. Hey, well, you've got our next guest on the line, and we need
yes.
to get straight to her because she's calling from England on her cell phone. That is Victoria Spicer from Horsing Country TV. Hello, Victoria.
Hello. I hope it's not too windy on my cell phone right now. It's suddenly picked up over here. We've had some terrible weather.
Well, no kidding. Well, first of all, where are you?
I am at the stables because I've been away filming a documentary with Carl Hester and Charlotte Dujardin, who are both two of our best dressage riders, and I got back yesterday evening. So I've come up to see my horse for the first time in about 10 days.
Aw, well, thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule I know you know barn time is usually the time when people put their cell phones away, so we won't keep you. But tell us what has been going on over there with the weather and everything. First of all, describe what it looks like over there after all this rain.
Well, it's just been so rainy. I mean, we had such a dry March over here, and we were all complaining about the ground and whether we'd be to go cross country because it was so hard. And the next thing we know, we have showers and more showers and more showers, and it just has stopped. And I think I've been away I've been in Germany at a big international show for about 4 days, and we heard sort of reports of how rainy it was back at home and how it hadn't improved, and then there was trees blowing down, and the next thing we heard was badminton had been cancelled and that the park is waterlogged and it couldn't go ahead.
That is just unbelievable news. What I mean, this would be like canceling Mardi Gras, Glenn. You know,
yeah.
How's everybody taking it?
I think everybody is torn between really big disappointment. You know, there's people who have bought tickets for presents. A friend of mine was meant to be going on a hen party to badminton horse trials, and so much of the local economy depends on badminton. You know, it's a little tiny village in Gloucestershire in the countryside, and suddenly they have 100,000 people there staying there, going to the trade stand. Local breakfast, and so it's a huge big hit, and all the riders are obviously gutted because they were prepared, their horses were fit, that they've been their target for months, and you know, it is affecting their kind of long-term Olympic goals as well, and the next thing we know it's cancelled. But on the flip side, nobody wants to see horses being injured, and if it's not safe to run, I think badminton organisers have done the right thing in cancelling.
Yeah, I think they've done the right thing, obviously. It reminds me of last year's Rolex, where the sunken road was actually a water hazard. I mean, it was so filled up with water, and those guys worked until the first horse went on course to try to get it dried up. But I guess, you know, sometimes when you have a small village like that and you've got badminton, it's almost not even feasible for them to keep working on it. And what is the weather supposed to be this entire week?
It's actually here in London, which is a couple of hours away from badminton. It's quite dry and sunny today, but I think the showers are continuing, and the only hope badminton would have had of going ahead is if it had been bone dry and not another drop of rain, and we've got showers planned for this week. So it is not as bad as it probably sounds overseas, that, you know, we're having to count such a major event, but it's just been 3 weeks of nonstop April showers.
That's great. Well, I thought it was a joke when I read badminton was canceled, but it turns out it has been canceled in the past, I think maybe 3 times.
It's been canceled a few times. The last time was in 2001 when we had a foot and mouth outbreak, and it had to be cancelled then, but just didn't even cross my radar. And we're all upset at the channel because we were meant to be there filming our regular show, Riddles Roundup, and we had an entire weekend of badminton scheduled to go on the channel next weekend. So it's been a lot of last minute changes for us as well.
Oh my gosh, you're scrambling to find stuff to talk about. Okay, let's head out to, you can come on over to my house, you can film my horses, whatever. I'm sure that, it's like, how do you decide what to put in? I mean, you've got a channel, and you've got a whole bunch of programming scheduled that's now been wiped away a week before. How do you guys handle that? What are you going to put in?
We'll just have to put on repeat showings of other planned programs, and we're still going to show some of badminton 2011, so people can just wipe their memories clear of who won and try and relive badminton that way instead. And we've got highlights from Kentucky coming up on the channel the following weekend as well, so people can tune in and at least get some 4-star action on their screens.
Right. And then now, what do you think? Did you read the new press release that just came out about William Fox Pitt and his having to win badminton next year instead of this year for the Grand Slam?
Yes, I did. I did get it. And we're in the process of... And I think it's a bit of a shame. I think I'd have preferred it to run over to Burley this year, and for that one to count instead. Failing that, you know, what happens if somebody else wins a couple of events in a row and you've got two people vying for the Grand Slam at the same time? So it's a bit of a tricky situation. If somebody else won Burley this year and Kentucky next year, could there be them versus William going head-to-head for the Grand Slam?
And that would be a media gold. That's called media gold there, Victoria.
You're so true.
But, Victoria, Glenn posed the question, what if William Fox Pitt now goes on to win Burley and Rolex next year? Should he get double the money if he wins badminton next year?
I think he should, and a Rolex for everybody he's ever met in his life. That would be fair.
You're exactly right. That is perfect. Well, hey, I know you're calling on your cell phone. Just send the bill to Glenn for your international coverage there.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. We really appreciate it. It's Victoria Spicer from horseandcountry.tv. Go check it out, and go enjoy the time with your horse if it's not raining for a second.
I will do, in the sunshine. I can't wait.
Lunge him. Victoria. Lunge him first. It's been 10
exactly,
days.
Exactly.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye.
All right. Thank you to Victoria for calling in. That's very interesting. And I saw pictures of badminton over there, and some of the areas that were supposed to be jumps were lakes. You couldn't even see the jumps. I mean, it was bad.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what? I must say that it makes me very proud of our Rolex employees, I guess, at the Kentucky Horse Park. Because I'm sorry, we had some torrential rain last time. It might not be this bad, but they never thought about canceling. I mean, maybe they did, but they did not cancel
actually,
it at all.
That last year, they did talk early in the week about canceling Cross Country Day.
But they didn't.
But they ended up not having to, yeah. But it didn't. I don't think we've had quite the volume of rain that they've had over there. I talked to Samantha.
We're the best.
Samantha from Event Nation, who used to be on co-hosting the WEG show with me, and she had tickets. She's going to England, and So when you think about the economic impact of that, this gets more fans than any other event like this in the world. The economic impact for the vendors, for everybody in the town, for the hotels, for the restaurant, everybody is affected by this that's in that area. It's a huge economic impact as well, what she said.
It's quite sad.
Yeah, it is. Well, let's take a break here. We have a lot of news to get to that we didn't cover, because we've been on the road that we need to get to. We need to talk about the Kentucky Derby because the top 20, horses are going to run in the Derby are out, so we'll go over those. And we have a lot of other news as well. But first, I got to tell you that I received a note from Jared Rogerson, one of our famous, our favorite songwriters and singers on the show here. And he sent a little note that he has a new Facebook fan page, and he'd like everybody to follow him there. Jennifer will post it on Facebook. And he also said, hey, Glenn, we've got some important announcements we'll be making soon, and we wanted to keep you in the loop. We're working on a new album. I'll keep you posted. So there's going to be some new songs from Jared coming out soon. And one of his songs that we're going to play for you today, I thought, he wrote to us, I might as well play one of his songs. And that is Just One of the Guys by Jared Rogerson. And we're going to be back with more news after this.
She pulls up in that old pickup, in her dusty cowgirl boots and her faded Wrangler jeans. She's just some cowgirl you've hung out with since she was 17. Now she's 33. She don't seem like the kind ever sit down. She's just riding on a natural mountain high. When she gets bucked off, she'll get up and shake it off. She's just one of the guys. She can rope and ride with all of us. Don't believe those eyes. There's no such thing as a girl who's just one of the guys. take my advice. Don't ask me how I know. She's the perfect summer sunset if she ever lets it show. Trust me, I know. She can rope and ride with all of us. She's cold as ice if you lose her trust. Well, it's no disguise, don't believe those eyes. There's no such thing as a girl who's just one of the guys.
That is Jared Rodgerson. Oh, I cannot wait till his new record comes out. Oh, I just absolutely love his music. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, and it is brought to you today by Omega Alpha, our friends there in Canada, eh? And Glenn, you know, I've just been staring and staring at these photos of all of the Derby contenders. I'm so excited. We just have, like, you know, one Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, five more sleeps until the Kentucky Derby.
That is true. You having a party at the house?
Oh, wait, what's today? Today's Tuesday. Four more sleeps. Yes. And yes, I am going to a party. And my friend lives, girlfriend Teresa lives up in, like, northeast Phoenix in Cave Creek. Well, there's a show jumping show on Sunday, and I really think that I need to take Jet to, because the biggest hole that Jet and I have in our eventing career is the show jumping, the control of keeping him quiet. And I mean, he jumps everything like 3 feet over it, but it's in between the fences that he's really bad, and sometimes he can get spooky. So here's what I plan to do. On Saturday morning, I'm going to take Jet to the barn that Teresa boards her horse, and I'm going to school him there. Then I'm going to go to her house and watch the Derby, and then Sunday morning we're getting up and we're going to a show. Horse show! A show jumping show!
You're going to have quite a weekend. Talk about a horse-filled weekend. Your husband has to go through one horse-filled weekend after another with you.
Oh, yeah, don't think he's coming. He and Alex, Teresa's husband, are going to golf Sunday morning.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
They'll be golfing. Teresa and I'll be riding horses. It'll be fun. But I've never actually been to a jumper show. I know that sounds weird, but
really?
I showed hunters forever, and then I started eventing. So I've never actually been to a actual jumper show. So I'm kind of excited.
Did I ever tell you about the first jumper show I went to with Jennifer? Nah, probably shouldn't,
no,
because I'm already sleeping on the couch tonight. We'll skip that one. Let's go through who won.
I want to hear it, dog. No. You got to tell me now.
No, I can't. No, that wouldn't be a good idea. I'd really be sleeping on the couch tonight.
Glenn.
Yes?
Let me point out that I just posted a picture on our Facebook page of my husband asleep in the grass, okay? It's for the show.
Well, there's this little jumper show that was held at this little stables right down the street from us. It was probably one of the first shows I ever went to with her. And she was doing the same thing. She was an eventer, and she had baby horses. And she took one of the baby. I think it might have been the first time that horse ever went. Turned out to be quite a horse later on. But first time that horse ever went to a jumping show. And she takes it around. And I think they got maybe over two of the jumps, came around a turn, and the horse just didn't jump, completely obliterated the whole jump. I mean, the whole thing went down. Crash. Never jumped at all. She just plastered the thing. And, you know, this is a little local show where everybody knows you. She's a trainer in the area. You know, everybody knows everybody, and she just took it out. I think she broke it. I don't remember, Jennifer. I think you might have broken it. She broke the standard, and they had to find a new standard to put up. She crashed that hard. Yeah.
Talented horse. Talented. Good thing you took him to a show jumping class and not a cross country, because those don't obliterate as well.
Yeah,
those
don't go down so easy. All right, so now before I totally am divorced, let's go back to the Derby and talk about who's running. Now, what we'd have liked to do is, as we go through the names here, and we'll down through the ones who are running, I want everybody to post what their favorite name is. Not necessarily the favorite horse, but what's the best name in the Derby, because that's how I pick usually the winner. So I want to know everybody's opinion on what their favorite name is, because there's some interesting ones. Wouldn't you say this year there's some interesting names?
Well, you know, being that I only choose horses on, you know, their works and their Bayer speed ratings and, yeah, whatever. I seriously don't. I pick them because they're pretty. So, yeah, I think this is good too. So when you're talking about the names, I was looking through to see who is the prettiest. But, yeah, what we want to do is you guys go through this list. We're going to post the link to this to the Derby list. It's the Kentucky Derby website on our Facebook page. And what you can do is you can go through and pick the names, and the person that gets, and I'm going to give stuff away right now, Glenn, whether you like it or not.
Okay.
The person that picks the name of the winner, we're going to send a Horse Radio Network hat to. Now, if there's multiple entries, like say everybody, like say five people like the horse Creative Cause, we're going to draw your name out. We'll draw one name out, and that person is going to get the hat. Now, strictly on the name. You're not allowed
right.
to pick the ones just because, you know, it's gonna. You think it's going to win. Just strictly on the names, and you can bet with your friends on the other ones.
Well, let's go through them. Let's go through them here. Do you want to or you want me to?
Oh, yeah, let's go ahead. Well, starting out, this horse, I think, is one of the prettiest. And we're just going to go through alphabetically. His name is Alpha. Alpha.
He has a very long face. You know, some thoroughbreds have short, you know, almost Araby faces. This one's very long. Very regal looking.
I think he's very regal looking. And he is trained by Kieran McLaughlin. Jockey is Alan Garcia. The horse's name is Alpha. And I think it's fitting today that this should be the Omega Alpha sponsor's pick. Because
there you go.
Obvious.
That's true.
Obviously, we got Omega Alpha today. The second is Bodemeister. And the trainer is Bob Baffert. Now, Bob Baffert's son, just a backstory on the name, Bob Baffert's son is Bodie. And so he named the horse Bodemeister, and the jockey is Mike Smith. How can you go wrong with Mike Smith? Because it's Zenyatta's jockey.
Bob Baffert's won three times the Kentucky Derby, but he hasn't won since 2002. And this, you know, he obviously is hoping that this is one of his winners right here.
Well, and also the backstory on Bob Baffert having the heart attack, they're saying that he's a changed man. He's waking up and he's going to the gym before he goes to the track, and he's trying to eat healthy. And they say that he's just relaxed. He's just chilled out. So, you know, Bob Baffert is going to be a force to be reckoned with no matter what, heart attack or not. The next horse, Glenn.
Creative Cause. Mike Harrington is the trainer out of the Heinz Heinz. Steinman is the owner. I don't know much about Creative Cause. I have to say, you know, I'm not a real huge gray horse fan. And this horse, I think, is kind of, you know, the picture we're looking at kind of has his face all covered up. But I don't think he's the most attractive horse in the world.
You know, you can't really pick an ugly horse that's going to the Derby. It just, none of them are ugly. But, yeah, you know, I had to remind myself to never bet the gray because – this past weekend, I bet a gray and I came in dead last. And I thought, you know, why did I do that? I know I'm just going to lose my money. Never bet the gray. Except we're going to get to a horse coming up in a minute that might be a good bet. But we'll carry on about him. So Creative Cause is trained by Mike Harrington, and the jockey is Joel Rosario. The next horse, this might be my name pick. Because I just love this horse's name. The trainer is Aidan O'Brien. Colm O'Donoghue, a nice Irish guy, I guess, is the jockey. And the horse's name is Daddy Long Legs. Daddy Long Legs. So doesn't that make you think of when you were a kid? Daddy
yes.
Long Legs! There's a Daddy Long Legs! Get him, Mom!
Well, I think it's ironic, like the horse that's with the next name, too. Can you imagine the announcer getting these two mixed up?
This is like my wife knows everything versus the wife doesn't know. So Daddy Long Legs is in the stretch run with Daddy Knows Best. Daddy Knows Best is inching up over Daddy Long Legs. I should be a race caller. So Daddy Knows Best in OSE. Trainer Steve Asmussen and Garrett Gomez is the jockey. So that's going to be a pick as well.
Now the next one gets the best name for the owner's stables, don't you think?
Go ahead.
It's Done Talking is the name of the horse, trained by Hamilton Smith. Jockey is Sheldon Russell, and the name of the stables is Skedaddle Stables. I love that for a race stable, Skedaddle Stables. That's terrific.
I like that too. Next horse is Doulahan. Doulahan, trained by Dale Romans, jockey Kent DeSormo. Gosh, there's just every awesome jockey is going to run in this race. Doulahan wasn't that Frankie Lovato's pick?
Yes, I think it was. Yep, or the Mig. I can't remember which. I think one of them really liked Doulahan. Yep,
it was Frankie, yeah.
El Padrino is the next one. Let's Go Stables, trained by Todd Pletcher and Rafael Bejarano. How do you say his name? Bejarano?
Bejarano.
Thank you. Thank you. Rafael is riding there. And Todd Pletcher, of course, we have a connection to Todd Pletcher, a very loose one, in that our adopted bug rides for Todd Pletcher, and her name is Carrie. And Carrie, I got word last week, headed to New York. So she's now in New York riding for Todd up there.
That's cool. Well, another Todd Pletcher horse, and this is my pick as far as pretty horse goes, because this is, like, seriously one of the most beautiful horses. His name is Gemologist, owned by Windstar Farm, trained by Todd Pletcher, and Javier Castellano is the jockey. Gemologist is the horse. Now, I got to introduce the next one, because, Glenn, when I say never bet the gray, that does not count for never bet the white.
Right, exactly. Because I don't think this horse is gray. I think he's past gray into white.
I think he's silver. And, of course, we're talking about Hansen, owned by Dr. Hansen and Sky Chai Racing. The trainer is Mike Maker, jockey Ramon Dominguez. Now, Jennifer, I found a video on the blood horse of this completely white, steely, almost steely gray, almost blue horse named Hansen. And they take him at Churchill. They've got a little area that is deep sand that they'll sometimes let the horses go roll in. And so there's a video of Hansen rolling. And I swear this horse wants to be a dressage horse later on in life because he is doing some dressage moves. But to go let the white horse go roll, I was like, good for you guys. So we're going to post that on our Facebook page right now. It is Hansen out there having a good old time in the sand.
Well, that's terrific. Hansen is obviously one of the favorites for the race this year. And then my pick, I'm sticking with it because he got into the race. I think he's probably going to come in dead last. So I wouldn't take my advice and bet on him, but I like the name. I'll have another. Owned by trainer Doug O'Neill. The owner is Paul Redham, and he is the guy that, remember, when they raced this horse in California at Santa Anita, put five party buses together full of fans, and they drank the whole way to the track. They got obliterated at the track and drank the whole way home. This is a party guy, so you can imagine what he's going to show up with in Kentucky. It's going to be an interesting watch. I'll have another's owner. There's going to be some excitement around that.
Yeah.
Cute horse, too.
He is cute, and he wears flare nasal strips, so I like that, too.
Yes.
the next horse is Liaison, and it's another Bob Baffert-trained horse. Man, he's throwing everything but the kitchen sink into this race to try to get another victory. The trainer is Bob Baffert, the jockey Martin Garcia, and, again, the horse's name is Liaison.
And the next horse is actually question mark whether they're gonna decide by tomorrow. Apparently they may pull him for this race, and that's Mark. By the way, when I read this, I thought it was a jockey name because all the article said Mark Valesky may be pulled from the race, and I kept going, I don't even remember a jockey by that name. It's actually the name of the horse, Mark Valesky. Now, that has to be the dumbest name for a horse I've seen because it's so confusing, don't you think? I just think it's confusing.
Unless there's some amazing story about this guy. His name is Mark Valesky, and he was he was in the war over in Iraq, and he saved like 1,000 people from being blown up, and he's this war hero. None of that's true, by the way. I just made all that up. But if that was the story, then Mark Valesky as the name would be my pick. However, I don't think that's the story behind the name. So, it goes on to be a dumb name.
I'm trying to read here what the story is behind the name, but I'm not seeing it quickly. So, but you know who is the jockey? Did you see that?
Your girl, Rosie Napravnik, and she is... You got to pull for the chick
racing.
Jockey.
Cutest jockey in racing right there. If you're betting on cute jockeys, you want to bet that one right there. The next one,
Glenn,
sounds like
she
the name of a winner, doesn't
it? I was going to say, Rosie could kick your butt for saying
yeah,
that. She would take you down. She's 4'11". She could kick your ass.
That's true. Now, the next one sounds like a winner. Just sounds like a Kentucky Derby winner, doesn't it? That name, Optimizer, just sounds like a winner.
B-Wayne
Lucas.
That's a pretty darn good name. Yeah.
One of Lucas's horse, ridden by John Court, name Optimizer. Bluegrass Hall is the owner of that one.
I do love the one-word names, and this next horse has one as well. His name is Perspective, trained by Mark Cass and ridden by Luis Contreras. Perspective is the horse.
Okay, now. Here, if you want a call, our friend, of course, Larry Colmus is calling to race. If you want the perfect call, then you have I'll Have Another in the Dead Heat with Rousing Sermon. Rousing Sermon is the next one. Can you imagine that down the stretch? Rousing Sermon and I'll Have Another. It could be good. Could be
it's
good.
It's like angel versus devil sitting on your shoulder.
And trainer there is Jerry Holland. Hollendorfer? Do you know? Have you heard him before? Is that new?
Gary Hollendorfer. No, I haven't.
Yeah, that's a new one. Rousing Sermon.
Jockey is Jose Lascano. The next horse is Sabercat. That is actually a really good name, too, like Sabertooth Tiger, and it's one word. Sabercat, trained by Steve Asmussen, and the jockey is Corey Nakatani. Sabercat is the horse.
I'll Take Charge, or Take Charge Indy is the next one. Trainer is Patrick Byrne. And guess who? Take Charge Indy is being ridden by Calvin Burrell. So you never, I don't care if this horse is 100-1, you bet $2 on it because you can't count Calvin Burrell out ever.
Well, and also the horse is sired by AP Indy, and AP Indy has sired some Derby winners before, so not a bad selection bloodline wise either. But again, it's only the name, so Take Charge Indy. The next horse is Trinneberg. Trinneberg is trained by Bisnes Parbu, and the jockey is Willie Martinez. And Trinneberg, I would love to know the story behind that name as well.
Actually, I think that I'm taking a look at that now. If I remember correctly, this horse is actually out of Trinidad. And that's why, Bisnath, who is the trainer, trained racehorses in Trinidad before moving to the United States. And actually is in New York now, but he was out of Trinidad, the trainer. That's where the Trinidad connection was there.
So, like, is Trinneberg a suburb of Trinidad?
I have no idea. I think Saturday we got all these things to get caught up on during the pre-show, you know?
I know.
The next one, of course, is probably in our hearts has to be one of our favorites, doesn't it?
It's just such a great story. It's just such a great story. And I love the trainer to pieces. The trainer is named Michael Matz, who's a former Grand Prix show jumper. I mean, just the coolest guy. The jockey is Julian Lepereau, and then Union Rags is the horse. And he's my second pick for pretty. Like, if I was going to bet just the pretty horses. It would be Gemologist and Union Rags in a 1-2 exacta box. That's how I would bet them. Give us a little bit of the backstory there, Glenn.
Well, yeah, the owner of Union Rags is a fascinating story, too. I mean, the whole thing is fascinating. This will be the thing you see highlighted the most. This is going to be the backstory of the weekend is Union Rags. The owner is Phyllis Wyeth, and that name may sound familiar to some of you who are familiar with art because she is the wife of painter Jamie Wyeth, and she was the former aide to President Kennedy back in the 60s. So she was President Kennedy's aide. She's married to Jamie Wyeth. And she's been a horsewoman all her life. She used to ride jumpers, if I remember correctly. But in 1962, she was in a car crash, and she is confined to a motorized scooter at this point. She had this horse. She bred this horse. And her accountant talked her into selling the horse when he was a yearling at the auction. Ended up selling the horse as a yearling for $180,000, Union Rags. When she found out that Union Rags was coming back through the auction as a 2-year-old, she instructed her stable advisor to buy him back. She didn't care about the price. She told him, I don't care what this horse costs. I should have never sold it in the first place. I bred this horse. I have a connection to the sire and the mare and all that stuff. And she ended up buying him back for double the price at $390,000. And is she ever happy that she did? She's very happy she did.
I would, if I was her, I would fire your accountant, okay? Yeah. Just fire your accountant. And then the other part of the story, of course, is Michael Matz was the trainer of Barbaro. And so this is his, I mean, obviously Barbaro won the Kentucky Derby, and Union Rags coming back to kind of, you know, it just gives me butterflies in my tummy for Union Rags to come out there and do well in the Kentucky Derby and then, you know, get through the, if not win the Preakness for Barbaro. That's kind of what I'm hoping. So that is kind of an emotional side of the story. And, you know, the Kentucky Derby is all about the backstory. I mean, without a doubt, it is all about the backstory. So we'll be looking at Union Rags. The horse has had a very successful 2-year-old year, obviously. So he's kind of still the Derby favorite, I think, between him and Hanson. So there you go.
Got beat here recently by Hanson, so it's gonna. We'll see if it's those two in the front.
Yeah, we will see. The last horse is Went the Day Well. Went the Day Well is owned by Team Valor International. Graham Motion is the trainer. John Velasquez is the jockey. Graham Motion, John Velasquez, obviously very well-known jockey and trainer. Now, the name, if we're just picking on the name, it sounds almost like it should be some sort of, like, old English novel. Went the Day Well.
That has to be one of the worst names for the announcer because it doesn't have a rhyme or a rhythm to it. You know, it's kind of almost backwards.
I don't know. I kind of like it. I kind of like the name because it does remind me of like a Jane Austen novel. And I love Jane Austen movies and Jane Austen novels. And so Went the Day Well sounds like Jane Austen, so I kind of like it. That's why you hate it, because guys hate Jane Austen.
That's right, exactly. And Jennifer has come up with the story behind Mark Valesky and why that name. And she says the trainer named it, the owner named it after an employee at the Seaview Hotel in Bal Harbour, Florida, where the Jones family took vacations. The human, Mark Valesky, has been in charge of the pool for some 40 years. He's never seen the horse run, but Jones said he's expected to be at the Derby. Well, there you go. That's a great
story. That is definitely not the war hero story that I was looking for.
He's the pool guy at the hotel where they vacation.
He's the pool boy. Oh, my gosh. Okay, yeah.
That's funny. All right. Well, that's the lineup for the week. We'll keep we'll keep tabs on this, and we'll have stories about this all week, I'm certain. We're running out of time here today, but there's one more story I have to tell you. This is the great story of the weekend, and it's about Jelly Bean. This is out of Fargo, North Dakota, and we don't get too many horse stories out of North Dakota, so this is a good one. Fargo, North Dakota, Jelly Bean is this little therapy miniature horse that they're training to be a therapy pet. Well, they had him actually in town with another one of his buddies. And they, as I said, they were training to be a therapy pet for the Hightail Horse Ranch and Rescue. And they adopt out rescue horses to new homes and provide lessons for the new horsemen and all that stuff. Well, apparently they were in town and they had these two, this miniature horse and this other horse tied up to the trailer. And I guess they were off doing something else. Well, Jelly Bean got out of his halter. He apparently snuck his little face out of his halter and decided to go for a wild ride. And he took six of the finest police cruisers from Fargo on a chase for a half an hour through the city of Fargo. Apparently, when they noticed he was gone, they started chasing him. Well, he went down the streets and apparently up into the city. The cruisers started to get involved. They were chasing him in squad cars and on foot. But apparently he was an elusive little guy. They said this chase, Jamie, apparently got up to 35 miles an hour at times. The officers said they were amazed at how – I'm not kidding. They said the officers were amazed at how fast his little legs would go.
That's
racehorse speed.
And I'm not kidding you. That's also a good name. So that little baby, that little mini, could actually be entered in the Derby if it was going 35 miles an hour. And his name is Jelly Bean, which is awesome, too.
They finally caught up to him. And they have a picture. You see the picture there of little Jelly Bean with the police officers? Do you see that picture?
Yes. And there's no halter on him. How'd they catch him?
We see him holding the mane. Apparently what happened was this little horse ran these guys for a half an hour. They were out there for a half an hour, and finally he just got tired, and he walked up to one of the policemen and, like, collapsed against the policeman. So the little guy just wasn't going to be caught, and they took him on a wild ride. This is going to be something those cops talk about for the next 10 years. That they're, their most vicious criminal ever that they chased was a little miniature pony named Jelly Bean. You know what? I think Jelly Bean has now flunked at pet therapy. I think that's probably off the list. Yeah.
I wonder, though, reading this headline, Jelly Bean the Miniature Pony, does that make miniature horse people, like, cringe? Because they call them a miniature pony, and they hate that so much.
It probably does. And I have to say, we were talking about good-looking horses and not good-looking. This is not the best-looking miniature pony I've ever seen. I'm just saying.
No, he's hideous.
There are really cute miniature horses, like Tammy, the host of the Western Radio Show, just bought the prettiest little miniature. Oh, my God. That thing is adorable. This one, not so much. But he's safe.
Well, maybe
everybody's happy. He probably doesn't have much in the way of feet left, because I'm sure he wasn't wearing shoes, so his feet are probably chipped all the hell and back. But he's doing fine.
Okay, well, that's good. And Jennifer just posted a link. Oh, Jennifer, I'm so glad you posted this. It's Michael Matz from the 1980s, before he was a racehorse trainer. And there's a video now of him show jumping. So thanks for posting that, Jennifer. Some footage of Michael Matz from his before he was Barbaro's trainer.
Well, and a couple other quick things here. Nancy Clark, let me open this up on Facebook. We've had some help from our regular listeners here. A couple things on the horses that are coming up here. You know, Facebook just does not cooperate sometimes. I seem to have lost the ones that were just posted. Do you see those there? They were just there 2 seconds ago. Mucho Macho Man runs on Friday, right? Is it Friday or Saturday at Churchill Downs?
Kentucky Oaks Day would be on Friday.
Okay.
So it's going to be on Friday. Nancy Clark posted that. A Mucho Macho Man runs in the Alashiba on Kentucky Oaks Day on Friday. One of my friend's horses, Jack, who I think you met this weekend, Glenn, he has a horse that is running in the pre-race card on Derby Day. The horse's name is La Rienne Leon. And if you remember, I actually got to see the horse run last year, and Bucket List got to be in a winner's circle photo with La Rienne Leon. So we got to pull for her as well, as she makes it onto the Derby pre-race card.
And Susan Nelson says, and the owners of Rousing Sermon are from Boise, Idaho, which has to be a first. That probably is a first. I don't remember anybody ever from Boise, Idaho before. So, all right, that's it. We're out of time for today. We're going to have much more coverage of the Derby, and as the excitement builds through the week here, I think what I'm going to do, too, remember last year I played some of the past derbies from way long ago. I put a little thing. I think we're going to do that again this year. Wasn't that fun? We played derbies from the 20s and 30s and things way back in the early 1900s. I think I'll put a little package together for that, too, this week.
Awesome. Heck, yeah. Do it. Do it. Do it. Love it. And just an FYI for, let's see, I think it was Barbara Evans that posted on our page. She said, hi, does anyone know if you can take the AirVest CO2 cartridge on a plane? What she's talking about is the little cartridge of CO2 gas that when it's separated, that's what makes the .2 air vest explode and blow up, right? Well, let me just tell you, no. You cannot take it on the plane. Do not. You will not, number one, get through security. Number two, they might think it's a bomb in your luggage. So don't do it. I don't know if it blows up under pressure like that. I think it does. So don't do it. You have to have it ground shipped to your house. So don't try to take it on a plane. I was warned about that. You get in big trouble.
All right, good. There you go. Well, that's it, Jamie. Let's come back again tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern, here on Horses in the Morning.
All right, sounds good. Everybody have a great day.
Hey, we'll see you in
Taylor.
I'll have another this week.